Parshas Vayechi, a famous pasuk written in this week's parsha, a famous bracha written in this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to his grandchildren Manasseh and Ephraim. I remember when I was in yeshiva in Gateshead, one of the Magidei Shurim, Reb Israel Rosenbaum, said to us that he went fundraising for Gateshead Yeshiva to Vienna, and he came into the home of a wealthy individual, and on the wall he saw a very expensive looking painting. An elderly man with a long white beard with his arms crossed on the heads of two young children. So Reb Israel asked the wealthy individual, he said, Tommy, what on earth is this picture? He turned around in astonishment to Reb Israel and says, don't you know, this is a Rembrandt. This is a Rembrandt. This is the famous scene of Yaakov giving a bracha to his Einiklach. I remember Reb Israel came back to the yeshiva and he said, Rembrandt might have been a good artist. But Chumash Rashi he didn't know, because they were not young children. If even though he painted a scene of Yaakov Avinu with his hands on two young children, but Menashe and Ephraim were by no means young children. If you make the cheshbon, I think they were in their 30s. Either way, the bracha that he gave them, Hamalach HaGoy Eloisi, Mikol Ro, etc., etc. And the bracha concludes with the words, V'yidgu laroiv bekerev haaretz. V'yidgu laroiv bekerev haaretz. The word V'yidgu is the word that Be'ezus Hashem we're going to home in tonight. Because the Yidgu certainly has connotations of dogim, something to do with fish. So he was giving them a bracha, the Yidgu laroiv. So the Gemara tells us that the Yidgu is indeed miloshen dogim. And as we know, fish are to be found underneath the water's surface. They do not float around on the land. And therefore, if the water is always covering them, there's no ayin hora that can possibly be sholeit on the dogim. So the Gemara tells us in brachas in two places, in Daf Chof and Daf Nun Hey, that was the bracha. The Yidgu laroiv, you too should also be zoicha to be like dogim, i.e. that no ayin hora should possibly get the better of you. But the Medrash would seem to say something different, because the Medrash says that ma dogim shebeyam porim verovim. We know that dogim reproduce a very large amount. The ein ha'arai ein hora sheletes bohem. The ein hora does not get the better of them. Kach yu bonecha. So it seems to me that the bracha is something different, that not so much focusing on the ein hora, but rather the fact that there'll be a great multitude of klal yisrael. Dogish is under the yidgu laroiv. You should be roiv just like dogim. Now there is, by the way, a very important, a very interesting Vilna Goyim, because he asks the question that if you look throughout the Torah, you will not find that Manasseh and Ephraim were necessarily ever a larger tribe than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So what happened to Yaakov Avinu's bracha? If Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha, v'yidgu laroiv, you should be plentiful, there should be a very large number of your shevet, we don't see that promise, that bracha, ever fulfilled in the Torah. So the Vilna Goyim, fascinatingly, he learns that if you carry on reading, it says, V'yidgu laroiv bekerev ha'oretz, in the midst of the land, says the Vilna Goyen, which land? Eretz, says the Vilna Goyen, the bracha was that Manasseh and Ephraim indeed should be large tribes, where? Bekerev ha'oretz in Eretz Yisrael, Adovah Niflo. Because if you look, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, indeed, Manasseh and Ephraim, the numbers shoot up. That's how the Vilna Goyen learns. Bekerev ha'oretz means in the midst of the land, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Either way, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, the Yidgu, kedogim ha'alolu sheporim verovim, they reproduce, ve'ein hor ayin hora sheletes bohem. And the ayin hora does not get the better of them. So it would seem to be on the surface that there are two different explanations. Number one, there's no ayin hora. Number two, there will be zeicha to be pora verovim. However, it could very well be that this, in fact, is not two separate interpretations. Rather, it's just two halves of one coin. They will have no ayin hora being sholet over them, and therefore they will be para barava. In fact, there's a sefer al haTorah written by the Bar Tanura, and he says, ve'ein hora sholetes bohen. We know the ayin hora is what causes klala. Says the Bar Tanura, we have a principle. Ein habrocha mitsuya ela bedavar hasomui min ha'ayin. The brocha is only to be found on that which is concealed from the eye. Brocha is always miloshen ribui. So in fact, it's not two interpretations at all. by virtue of the fact that the Ayin Hara will not be shaylet over you, therefore bracha can take effect such that there will be poira verova kadogim. And I found this absolutely mufurish in a wonderful piece in the Kli Yoko. Because the Kli Yoko is also troubled by the words we focused on him before. The Yidgul Aroiv Bekerev Haaretz. It's a strange land. It's a strange word. Bekerev Haaretz. What does it mean, Bekerev? It could have just said the Yidgul Aroiv Haaretz. Or in fact, not say those words at all. So the Kli Yoko explains a wonderful interpretation. We all know the Gemara, that because there was a great sakana for all of the Jewish children, so the wives, the women of Klal Yisrael, used to go and give birth in the field, and the child would be absorbed by the land. The Gemara in Satan, Daf Yud Aleph. Nasa lohem neis v'nivlu ubekarka. They would be swallowed up by the land, so that the Mitzrayim would never catch them, because they would disappear. And underground, v'derech neis, that's how they used to grow. Says the Kli Yoko, that's what it means. Bekerev ha'aretz. A biur nifla. The Yidgul Aroi, Bekerev Oret, swallowed up in the land. That's where they will multiply. But then he finishes off by saying the following words, and this is mamash the pshat we said before. Why will they be swallowed up? Not just for practical reasons that the Mitzrayim shouldn't catch them, but rather, kedei sheloi tishloit bohem ayin horo shel haMitzrayim. The evil eye of the Mitzrayim should not get the better of them. Therefore, they are covered up by the land, and because of that, ubesibois hayoisom bekerev haaretz, and because they are there swallowed up by the land, that's why nasu rabim kedogim. That's why they multiply like fish, because kiloi sholto bohem eino bisha, because the ayin hara did not get the better. So you see quite clearly in the Kli Yoko that the two halves of the Medrash, the two halves of Rashi, are in fact not two different explanations. They are one of the same. One is the explanation of the other. Because the Ayin Hora will not be shoylet over Klal Yisrael, that's why they will be Nasu Rabim Kedogim. And in particular, light of the Kli Yoko's explanation, why indeed will the Ayin Hora not be shoylet over them? Because they will be swallowed up by the ground. There will be Bekerev Haaretz. If they're underground, the Mitzrayim can't see them. That's not just a practical precaution, but rather that's also to ensure that the Ayin Hara will not get the better of them. Therefore, Bracha can take effect, and that's why the Yidgul Aroiv Bekerev Haaretz. If you look in the Eir HaChaim HaKadosh, the Eir HaChaim explains differently, and he refers you back to Parashas Bereishis. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he created the fish, it says in Parashas Bereishis that they had a special bracha, Prur Urvu. And Eir HaChaim explains that the reason why the fish needed a special bracha to multiply is because it's unnatural to be able to reproduce whilst in the water. That's not a natural existence. Therefore, they needed a special bracha so that they should be able to reproduce, despite the fact that their surroundings does not, al pidarkei ateva, allow that to happen. And therefore, says Eir HaChaim, that's what it means over here. He was giving them a bracha, the yidgu l'oroiv bekerev haaretz. You should be zoicha to multiply like dogim, against all odds, against teva. So let's try and explain what this means. I once saw, a number of years ago, in the Sefer Dorash Moshe, that's from Moshe Feinstein's Sefer, a wonderful interpretation of a posuk, which is written just a few psukim before the one that we have quoted. Yaakov Avinu sees Ephraim and Manasseh, and he says that these two children, Hanoilodim Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, who were born to you here in Eretz Mitzrayim, Ad Bo'i Eilecha Mitzrayim, or until I, Yaakov, came down to Mitzrayim, Liheim, they are mine. Firstly, what does that mean, they are mine? Why are Ephraim and Manasseh mine? In what way do they belong, as it were, to Yaakov Avinu? And why the emphasis on the fact that they were born prior to the fact that Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim? So Rav Moshe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says a very powerful verse. A person who's mechanech his children, it's very easy, as long as they are in the Kosle Beis HaMedrash. But what happens when they leave the confines of the Beis HaMedrash? One has to be mechanech one's children such that when they set on their own path, the effect, the influence is so powerful that they're able, even when no longer in the Kaisle Beis HaMedrash, still to be strong, v'darkei Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was a prime example of that. He was Machanach Yosef whilst Yosef was with him, but then Yosef, we mentioned this last week, was able to withstand the influence, the negative spiritual influence in Mitzrayim. So the effect of Yaakov's chinuch was so powerful that even whilst Yosef was in Mitzrayim, he was still able to withstand and still able to maintain his ruchnius standing. Now that Yosef HaTzadik had done the same, Yosef had brought up two sons, says Yaakov Avinu, prior to the fact that I arrived in Mitzrayim. So I was not able to influence them directly, but I see that they're Yireim Ushleimim, Liheim, that's my doing. Because I invested in you the koyach to withstand all influence and all tumor against all the odds. And that's what he was saying. Even though that these children were born when? Ad bo yelecho Mitzrayim, the very fact they are still solid and strong in their ruchnias, Liheim, that's my investment. Because I clearly invested in you the koyach, the powerful koyach of chinuch, even when you're not in the Beis HaMedrash, to the contrary, you're Mitzrayim. And you've successfully managed to pass that on to the next door. Well, how well that fits in, therefore, with the Ora Chaim HaKodesh. That's the bracha, v'yidgu l'roi, you should be like dogim, who survive, as it were, in unnatural circumstances, and maybe we can add, bekerev ha'aretz, even when you're in the Oretz, not in the Beis HaMedrash. That's Gufa the Bracha. Even whilst you're here in Mitzrayim, you should have the Koyach of Dogim. V'yidgu l'roiv bekerev ha'aretz. Another interpretation, and for this evening, the final interpretation of the words V'yidgu l'roiv is to be found in a fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says that fish grow and develop in water. And Kivan, says the Medrash, sheyoyredes tipo achas milmal. When one drop of water lands from above into the sea, mekablin oisoy betzimoin. The fish accept, receive this drop of water, kemishaloy toamu tamayin mimeyein, as if they've never had water before. If you ever look, says the Medrash, at fish, when you drop in, when the water arrives, they go towards the water surface, gladly receiving this new drop of water, as if it's the first time they've ever had water in their lives. Says the Medrash, so too Yisrael gedelin b'mayim. Which mayim? The mayim of the Torah. Kiven shehin shoymin dovor chodosh min ha-Torah. When they too receive a new droplet of water, meaning a dovor chodosh, a new dvar Torah, hein mekablin oisei b'tzimoyim. They also receive it with great thirst, so remarkable, a beautiful bracha. Just like fish, surrounded by water, but when a new drop of water arrives, they receive it with great excitement, as if they've never seen water before, so too the yidgu, you too should be like fish, surrounded by the mayim of Torah, such that when you hear new Torah, you should receive it with great excitement. So I read in the Chiveres Koil HaTorah, which is a Torah journal that comes out twice a year. And they brought there a story that happened with Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Somebody came to Rav Chaim and said, I have a big kasha on my aquarium. What's the kasha? He said, I've got an aquarium at home with fish in it. And whenever I drop in food for the fish, they immediately rise to the surface and they lap it up. Okay. When I occasionally have to add water, they're carrying on swimming. Oilom kamin hogoinay. Nothing happens. So I always thought, well, it's obvious, because they're very excited to have food. So of course they rise immediately to the water surface. But water? Why would they need to rise to the water surface when they're surrounded by water? They're not missing anything. So he asked Reb Chaim, but I don't understand. The Medrash says the opposite. The Medrash says quite clearly that when water comes milmalo, then the fish rise immediately to the water surface, and they seem to be so excited as if they've never seen water before. How does the Medrash fit in with my aquarium? That was the shaila that he asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Now, in this Torah journal, this was a shtickle Torah written by Reb Denderovich, if I'm not mistaken, he's a Rosh Hashiva in Ger here in Eretz Yisrael, originally from England, big London, Chorif. He said that really you could ask another question. Not only is it a shvera aquarium, but what about the end of the Medrash? The Medrash says, so too, Klal Yisrael, when they hear a Dvar Torah, they mekabel it with great tzimoin, as if they've never heard it ever before. I'm sorry to say, very often see people who don't seem so excited to hear a new Dvar Torah. So we don't understand either the Medrash's Moshel or the Nimshel. He only asked Reb Chaim about the Nimshel because he had a Shvera aquarium. But how does that fit in even with the Moshel, with the Nimshel? Kach, Klal Yisrael, whenever they hear a Dvar Torah with great tzimoin, that's how they receive it. We don't always see it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky al-Koponim was Miyash of the aquarium. And Reb Chaim said, in great goyness, says the Medrash is talking about dogim in the yam. And the dogim in the yam are surrounded by water and nothing but water. And as far as they can see in every direction, all they can see is water. They have nothing else on their horizon but water. And therefore, they have great value for water because that really is their life. They see nothing else but water. Therefore, when more water arrives, they jump to the surface. Oh, in great excitement. That's their whole life. Kihem chayenu. Said Reb Chaim, but your fish are in a little tight aquarium. The only thing they can see is water? No. They can see through the glass walls, and they see there's a great big world out there. Water is by no means the only thing that they can see. That's not their life. There's a whole big life out there. So Mamela, when you drop water in, they don't get so excited. That's not the only thing that they're surrounded about. They don't have such a tremendous ha'arocha for mayim. That was Reb Chaim's biur nifla. So he writes there, if that's the case, then we understand the Medrash as well. Why is it that we see that some people don't receive a new Dvar Torah with such excitement? Well, apparently that's not their whole life. Eino chanami. If somebody is immersed in the Yam HaTalmud, Kihem Chayenu Voirech Yomeinu is not just a song, but it's literally his mantra of life, then Eino chanami. When somebody adds an extra Dvar Torah, that extra life, he indeed will be mekabel it with great simoy. And if you see somebody who, when hearing a new Dvar Torah, doesn't get so excited, then apparently he's not a fish in a sea. He's a fish in a little aquarium, but he has a far bigger world out there beyond the Mayim HaTalmud. So he doesn't get so excited about a Dvar Torah. That's how he took Reb Chaim's teretz and plugged it back into the Medrash. A biur nifla b'yosef. But then he adds the following. He says, Lulei Reb Chaim Kanievsky, perhaps we can answer the Medrash in a different way and explain the difference between this fellow's aquarium and what the Medrash was talking. And it all goes back to day one of the Bria. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Medrash says that the Mayim HaTachtoinim was separated from the Mayim HaElyoinim. There is Mayim up there in the heavens, and there's Mayim here in the Tachtonim. And the Mayim HaTachtonim complained, we want to be together with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We want to be the Mayim infused with Kedusha and Tahara by being in close proximity to the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Kisei HaKovid. So this Rav says, this Rav Dendorovich explains, look back at the Medrash that we began with. It says that the Mayim, the Dogim are in the sea. Kiven sheyoyredes. Tipo achas milamalo. Where is this water coming from? This is the emphasis. Not, perhaps as Reb Chaim explained, what are they surrounded by? Where's the water coming from? If it's coming from tipo achas milamalo, this is the water coming from Shemayim b'kedusha over Tahara. Of course the fish lap it up, because they may be surrounded by other types of water. If they've got an opportunity to connect now to Kedusha, what could be better than that? And that may well be the teretz to the aquarium. Because what water are you putting in the aquarium? Tap water? Mayim tachtoinim? Says the fish, I've got plenty of that already. Zelochaserli. That's not what I'm missing. So therefore, if you want to know why it is that your fish only jump to the surface for food, because that they're missing. They don't have any food. But what are you going to add? A bit more tap water? They've got plenty of tap water already. But when the Mayim lands, Tipo achas milamalo, all that, clearly they're very keen to lap up. And therefore he added in conclusion, so too, therefore, with regard to the Nimshel. If you see somebody who is makabal Dvar Torah and doesn't get so excited, where's the Dvar Torah come? Chazal tell us, who should you receive your Torah from? Im harav doimel malach Hashem tzvokis. Then yevakesh Torah mipi. If the Rebbe, if the Rav is an example, to an extent he's comparable to a malach, That's who you should be mekabel your Torah from. V'imlav al yevakshu. So if your tipa achas, if your mayim is coming milamalo from a pure source, indeed you'll lap it up with great excitement. And if you see somebody who hears the dvar Torah and is not so excited, one has to question perhaps not the listener, but rather the deliverer. Who's saying this dvar Torah? Is it coming from a pure source? He concludes there with the following observation. He says, nowadays, even the moshel and the nimshel don't seem. He says, fish in the sea, even when it rains, milamala, we do not have any scientific evidence to show us that the dogim rise to the water surface to lap up with great tzimoin this new drop of water. So what happens? So he says there, a very novel and brave interpretation. Because once our hishtekukus for Torah has diminished, that influences the whole Bria as well. And this, of course, and he's Mitzayim, to the famous Beis Halevi, who says in Parashas Noah, how could it be that it says, ki nishchasa kol bosar, all of the Bria, including animal life, was corrupt at the time of the Mabul. How could that be? How could that be? I understand that people have a taiva to do aveiras, but what's that got to do with the animals? Ki nishchasa kol bosar? Bishloima ha'odom hu baal bechira, says the Beis Halevi. Avala behema? Eila yetzahara? So how could the animal life, how could it be that the behemas at the time of the Mabul have become corrupt? Says the Beis Halevi, a phenomenal yesoid. Because just like a person influences his surrounding individuals, so too he influences the Bria as well. There exists, as it were, a spiritual pollution. You can pollute the air in Ruchnius as well. And if people, therefore, gave in to the Yetzirah at the time of the Mabul, then that influenced all of the surroundings, even the animals as well. Who poyel b'maisov b'kol ha'oilom ha'tachtoin b'chlal. Says the Beis Halevi in conclusion, even though perhaps logically this doesn't make sense, kol odom yochel laharagishoi b'chlal. Sometimes you feel it. Mamish. But boyoi le'ezoi medina, maybe you come to a certain area or a certain country, you will just feel shehi prutza be'ezer prat min ha'protim. You will feel there's pritza there. How can you feel it here? You don't know it's there, but you can feel it, you can sense it. And that's what happened at the day of the Mabul. I once heard that Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimko Indomei, when he went to America to collect, they took him, he was in New York, and they took him to Times Square. Rulchanon, of course, had never been there, didn't know what it was. And immediately he said to the people who are with him, this is a Mokum Seder. Maybe you have to be on Rulchanon's Darga, whose spiritual radar was more sensitive perhaps than ours. But Rulchanon was able to sense it. He didn't know it in his Seichel, but he was able to feel it. Because the Bria is influenced by those who live in the Bria. That's the famous Yesod of the Beis Halevi. And therefore, back to our medrash. Really, the way of the world is that if one is makabel the dovah shebikedusha, one should be excited about it to connect to that. And if one sees that that's not happening, then really the question is not on the dogim shebayam, but the question is on us. Perhaps we don't appreciate dvorim shebikedusha enough, and that therefore in turn influences the dogim shebayam. A wonderful interpretation, but a frightening interpretation of why the Metzius, as we see it, doesn't seem to fit in with the Metzius. So either way, in summary, we have learned this evening a number of different interpretations in Yaakov's bracha. The Yidgu L'Roid, they will be like dogim in as much that the Ayin Hara will not be able to overcome them. They will multiply, although we explained that that's not too different Pirushim, precisely because there's no Ayin Hara, that's why they will multiply. As the Kliokra explained, because they're swallowed up by the land, so therefore there's no ayin hara. Ein habrocha mutsuya, al-vadavah somim and ayin. We said the interpretation of the Rechaim HaKodesh will be like dogim who reproduce miraculously against teva. We explained that was really the brocha over here, that Menashe and Ephraim will thrive. Klal Yisrael will thrive even when they are bekerev ha'oretz, not necessarily in and amongst the Koyste Beis HaMedrash, and that was Yaakov's influence. And finally, as the Medrash has taught us, he was giving them a bracha, just like dogim, a makabel every drop of water with great thirst and excitement as if they've never tasted water before, so too Klal Yisrael will be makabel Torah, every word of it with great excitement. If you see in your aquarium otherwise, sort of Chaim's interpretation was because the aquarium is a little world, It's not a world which is full only of water. There's a big world outside of the aquarium. You don't appreciate water so much. The Medrash, however, is talking about Dogim Shebayam. That's their whole world. And so too in the Nimshal. If somebody's whole world is Torah, then he appreciates every extra piece of Torah. And if he doesn't, then that needs some introspection, because perhaps his whole world is actually not full of. And finally, this new interpretation. If the Dvar Torah is coming Milamalo, Mirav Adoimele, Malach Elekim Tzvokreis, then indeed you'll lap it up with great excitement. Just like the Dogim, as the Medrash tells us, receive the water which comes Milamalo, the Mayim Tohirim. The fact that we don't see that today might necessarily reflect not so badly on the Dogim, but perhaps on us. So either way, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zeicha to this bracha, v'yidgu l'roiv b'kerev ha'aretz.